Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 11th of October, Anno Domini 2014, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Wow, you seem hot.
I'm hot.
No, I don't mean it in that sense.
Well, I certainly do.
And bothered.
And bothered. I'm always bother.
No, the way they've been playing with the microphones and that, and the processors. And
I knew what you actually meant.
Yeah. Well, just to explain to the other folks, they might sit there and wonder, what the heck is he talking about?
What the heck? We all know Nick is hot, but I wouldn't think Dave would notice.
I do, because I've got the board here, and it's like, whoa. Tune him down a little bit.
Right.
Look at those needles bouncing.
That's what I mean. I'm sitting here, and it's going right on over in the red, and I had to get your normal spot, but evidently he's done a little more tweaking.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing.
Not in my headphones.
All right, I will keep it.
Thank you.
I will keep it down. Okay, Google, you win. In a study comparing the three most popular virtual mobile assistants, Google Now came out on top. The Stone Temple Consulting Corporation pit Apple Siri, Google Search, which encompasses Google Now, and Microsoft's Cortana against each other to test their skills. In order to measure performance, the firm compared all three platforms via 3,086 different queries chosen for their likelihood to trigger certain results. Referred to as a knowledge box or knowledge panel, such content attempts to directly answer a question asked in a search, like asking how many quarts are in a gallon. Based on the showdown, Google Now returned twice as many results as Cupertino's service and nearly three times that of Cortana. This is clear evidence that Google is much further down the path with this type of work than either Apple or Cortana, Stone Temple's Eric Ng wrote in a blog post. What the study really reveals, however, is Google's ability to present more information, including supplementary details and links to similar topics. Ask Google how tall the Eiffel Tower is, and you'll also find out some of the world's other tallest buildings. Siri's response is a quick Wikipedia search, or often a Wolfram Alpha card, with no mention of the Burj Khalifa or the Empire State Building. Plus, Apple service is often wishy-washy, sometimes returning a humorous response, other times a serious response. It's often more fun to play around with Siri than search for real data. Cortana, meanwhile, will cull information from various sources, but doesn't always return the correct details. Ask how old New York's Lincoln Tunnel is, and you'll learn all about the 16th U.S. President, Abraham Lincoln. As of October 4th, Google Now has a clear lead in terms of the sheer volume of queries addressed and more complete accuracy with its queries than either Siri or Cortana, Ng wrote. The Google Search app just got a little more helpful this week when the tech giant launched a new feature that helps users keep track of when bills are due. All Stone Temple queries were completed using voice commands running in the iPhone 5S and iPhone 5 for Siri and Google Now, and a Nokia Lumina 365 Windows phone for Cortana. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, the best digital assistant. Your choices are Google Now, Siri, Cortana, I Call the Library, and Can't Get Them on My Flip Phone. So far, of course, Can't Get Them on My Flip Phone is winning, followed by Google Now, I Call the Library. And so far, neither Siri nor Cortana have any votes at all.
So I still want John Scully's Knowledge Navigator.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
That was a very cool... It wasn't Scully's Knowledge Navigator. It was Alan Kay's Knowledge Navigator, which John Scully presented.
But that's still a cute commercial, though, when they do the Siri with the iPhone.
If you want to ask jokes and talk dirty to it, then it's Siri. But
yeah. Siri stopped telling you how to get rid of a body.
She did.
Yeah.
Because worried about somebody suing. As a nation,
or somebody actually doing it.
Yeah,
really.
No, you can buy some lye in the bathtub. All you have to do is watch, you know, TV shows, and you can figure that out.
Right.
And I just had somebody ask, come in looking for lye.
A bathtub full?
I don't know, but he was looking for quite a bit.
My grandma wouldn't use anything else but lye to clean anything in the
farm. That's exactly right. Oh, that's exactly
back
right.
Back in the day, yeah. Lye soap used to...
And she made her own,
get the, yeah, get the bricks of it.
Yep. So anyway, that's it. Cortana answered about 40% of the questions correctly. Siri answered about 50%, and Google answered about 90%, 85%, round down. And it doesn't surprise me any. I mean, what did Google base their entire company on?
Yeah.
Proper answers to searches.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a shock in any sense of the word.
Yeah.
And I get that nobody wants to use Google now. If you're Apple or Microsoft, you don't want to use Google as your search engine or as your
result. Oh, heck no.
But you know what? It's still the best.
And how many Android phones just woke up when you said, okay, Google? Was that the Xbox commercial where the Xbox Live? If you had an Xbox Live while you were watching the Xbox commercial and Aaron Paul said, okay, Xbox or Xbox off or something like that, your Xbox would hear the commercial and turn off.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
Probably.
Okay.
No, it's Enright. Bada bing. Try the VL. I'm on again at 11. No, wasn't it a number of years back? It was a young kid, and Google bought his search technology, and it was like, you know, worth a few million.
Yeah.
And then they asked the kid, what is he going to do next? He goes, oh, I'll probably go back playing on my skateboard and everything else. And here the kid was worth millions.
Yep. For some people, money is just...
But he developed part of the Google search that makes it the phenomenal thing that it is right now.
And they still have these contests about if you develop a better algorithm that does, you know, anything just a little bit better, they pay you a ton of money and use it.
Oh, a metric ton of money.
I missed the boat on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
always looking to better what they have, and they're not afraid to get it from outside the company.
No.
And they're all like that. I mean, Apple bought some products over the years. Microsoft bought most of its products over the years. They're willing to get the good stuff from wherever the good stuff comes from, and that's not a bad thing. Now, you were just talking about something else that we should mention, the Apple bot.
The botnet, yeah. There was a botnet discovered a week or so ago. Affecting about 18,000 Macs in the wild. And it was typical botnet. It was used to attack other computers. It was called the iWorm botnet. And a couple of researchers figured out that it's coming from pirate versions of Adobe Photoshop on BitTorrent sites. And so he went to Pirate Bay and downloaded a pirate Photoshop and got infected by the worm. Apple has updated their XProtect anti-malware built into the Mac to find it now. But it's another case where people are getting infected from non-traditional sources. You know, mm-hmm. It's not an email coming much anymore. It's you going to websites. Although pirate sites have often been a source of malicious software.
One might say always been
a source.
Yeah, or just the ads.
Yep.
Some of the ads that folks will sit there and, you know, to help subsidize their site, they get hacked. So that's why I tell folks, you know, you could be going to legitimate sites that you've probably gone to for years, but all of a sudden they've taken up the advertising, that banner down along the bottom, and that can be infected. So, yeah, you could be going to the same sites and still getting infected. And they go, well, how do I stop that? good luck with that one. Yeah, you know, keep you up with your antivirus, your spyware, you know, the spyware programs that we recommend, and it's due diligence.
We used to say don't go to CD websites, but nowadays that's not the case. It's
so much
ads.
For that theory.
We had a Facebook gets hit all the time with a bad ad.
All the time.
We had a customer come in last week. He was on the Walmart website, clicked an ad for tires, and got sent to a fake website. that popped up a message saying, this is Microsoft security. Your Windows is infected, and you better call this phone number. So he did on his Mac. See, that's our first thing. You're not running Microsoft Windows. And surprisingly, they only wanted $100.
Wow, a deal.
Most of these fake tech support calls have been, $300 or more. We're seeing that more and more and more with different things happening like that. We're also seeing more fake emails. We had another customer this week that just upgraded his Mac and coincidentally got a fake email purported to be from Apple. It said that we're enhancing new security. So the grammar's a little awkward, the punctuation was a little awkward, but if you clicked on the link, it took you to a very realistic, and I'm trying to bring it up here on my iPad. It took you to a very, very realistic Apple ID reset page. Right. Log in with your Apple ID and password. It looked perfectly real until you looked at the URL and saw you were not at Apple. So if you typed in your Apple ID and password, the bad guys now have it, and right. they can start buying stuff with your credentials.
In general, ladies and gentlemen, anytime you get a message that says you've been infected, call, or we're doing something weird, call, click here, make a call. Call your local dealer and ask them if this is real. The person who sold you your computer should be very happy to answer that particular set of questions for you.
Yep.
The one rule of thumb that I've always told folks and any of my customers, if you get a message and you have to even think twice about it,
right.
delete it.
Well, that's part of the
problem.
Because
if it is a valid message, they'll get back to you.
Most people don't think twice. They get an error message. Oh, I'm infected. I better click here. And that's the problem. And it's almost always fake. It's almost always malicious. Even if there is a breach at some company and you get an email, it could be a legitimate email. Don't click any links. We've said that for a year. Don't click a link in email.
Right.
If you think there's a problem in your Apple account, you go to your website, type apple.com yourself.
Right.
Never click a link in a website.
Right. All it takes is that little bit of due diligence to make yourself just that lot more secure on the internet. So definitely, definitely do it. Listen, join us in the conversation. We'd be happy to have you along. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-04.
And one thing we should be preparing the folks for, as you know, and you might have heard as the Polka guys came on, our pledge drive starts next week.
Yep.
So you know well, darn well, folks, that we're going to be coming after you for some money. So the sooner that we can get up to the amount that we need, the faster the drive goes over and we get back to talk shows like this.
That's right. I do understand people have that urge to wait till the last minute because they feel more heroic coming in at the last second and saving
hurts.
Everybody. But doggone it. Save everybody a little bit of pain. Call early, call often. That's the thing to do. But you know, the Macintosh bug, the iBot, what is it called?
iWorm botnet
brings up a point. Don't get smug. I don't care what your operating system is, unless it's a Chromebook. Don't get smug. You can be infected. You can be infected. You can be owned. You can be taken over.
You can probably still get the fake pop-up window saying you're
infected. I was just about to say.
Yeah.
And even on a Chromebook, you can get caught by all these fake ads and fake pop-ups. So don't take any of this stuff for granted. Don't get smug because you've got an operating system that you think is not hackable. Because trust me when I tell you, all of them are. I don't care if you're on a Mac, if you're on Windows, or you're on Linux, you're on a Chromebook, you're on anything at all. You personally can be hacked. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
Dave Henry.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbite.
And someone really wanted us to hear that song.
Really, really did.
Well, no, we're, as I explained before, that's going to give me a heart attack.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like Apple might not be using much sapphire glass in its products after all. The supplier of sapphire glass, GT Advanced Technologies, has filed for bankruptcy. Following Monday's bankruptcy filing, GT is reportedly ramping down production of its scratch-resistant sapphire material. The company, which has about $85 million in cash, is hoping for debtor-in-possession financing, which would allow it to stay afloat and pay its employees. Lawyers representing the company reportedly asked the court to seal crucial bankruptcy documents, a move that will keep investors in the dark, which writers called highly unusual. GT has a strong and fundamentally sound underlying business, CEO Tom Gutierrez said in a statement on Monday. This filing does not mean we are going out of business. Rather, it provides us with the opportunity to continue to execute our business plan on a stronger footing, maintain operations of our diversified business, and improve our balance sheet. Last year, Apple announced plans for a new facility in Arizona, which would run in partnership with GT Advanced Technologies. Apple agreed to provide GT with $578 million in prepayment to be paid back over 5 years starting in 2015. The deal sparked rumors that Cupertino would use a sapphire display on its new iPhones, but the iPhone 6 lineup launched in September with Corning Gorilla Glass, likely due to the expense and labor required to produce sapphire screens. Sapphire screens tend to be at about a 40% rate of success so far with most of the technologies that they're using today. Also, of course, it's quite lucky that they are using Gorilla Glass, because Gorilla Glass will bend at about 70 degrees before it breaks. Sapphire glass only about 20.
They came to pressure under.
Yeah.
They cracked under the pressure.
Exactly. Apple does, however, use sapphire for the surface of its Touch ID button, while the upcoming Apple Watch will be protected by sapphire crystal, or maybe not. Because of its alliance with GT Advanced, Cupertino has been given the option to review and move to redact any information about its relationship with the company ahead of bankruptcy hearings. According to Reuters, the court ruled on Thursday to give Apple at least 3 days to request disclosures it wants blocked. So are you upset that Apple uses Google Glass in the iPhone 6? Give us a call, 585. Google Glass?
Yeah, it's Gorilla Glass. He's cracking under the pressure, too.
from our own nearby Corning Glassworks here in lovely Western New York. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And there's stuff about this storage that just doesn't make sense. GT Advance was saying that Apple's contract was oppressive and burdensome. They gave us $600 million to
those
build
sons of guns.
Yeah, really cheap son of a guns.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and we can't do that, so we're going to file bankruptcy.
Apparently, it's oppressive and burdensome to be asked to make the product you're selling.
Take the money and run?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, exactly.
And to build two new plants and create 1,000 more jobs.
What's clearly happening is that there is something wrong with the manufacturing process.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been saying that all along.
Mm-hmm.
The run rate, the rate at which the success rate of the process is very low and very, very expensive. You're growing crystals in an aligned matrix, and they just don't have the technology down.
Yeah. It really should be done in microgravity.
It really should.
So you need a plant in space.
Right. So they're having a terrible time actually making the product in general. Small yields, like the glass that goes around the touch sensor, are fine. Apparently, they're having moderate success with something the size of the Apple Watch. But screens, they're just not having a great deal of success with. That's what I've read. Is it true? Mm-hmm. I'm not a structural engineer. But that's what I'm hearing, and that's what seems to be the issue. Now, on the other hand, the folks at Corning, who make Gorilla Glass, not Google Glass, Gorilla Glass. There is Google Glass. That's something you wear that makes you look even dorkier than you do.
But does Google Glass use Gorilla Glass?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
G squared?
Exactly. Yeah. No, that would be G cubed. No, G to the fourth, actually. Google Gorilla Glass Glass. Anyway, the point here...
G cubed.
The point here is you've got a whole bunch of people just... And Steve is right. You got a whole bunch of people saying contradictory things. You know, we're trying to... We're going to keep going, but actually making the product we've been asked to make is very burdensome. I'm not sure what that's about. And I don't know how Apple feel... Well... $580 million is a rounding error for Apple, so yeah. That's not a big deal. But they've gotten all kinds of tax breaks for the plant. They've gotten all kinds of they've made all kinds of promises to the Mesa community, mm-hmm. And who knows if any of that is going to happen now?
It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah,
I say, and once you. You'd kind of know what you're going into anyways and what's going to be expected of you. And why the heck even make the commitment?
Well, Apple is notoriously picky. You said the success rate is 40%. Apple probably only accepts 20%.
Right.
Of the production run. So
and that may be what's burdensome.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, there's a scratch on this one. We don't want it. Oh, come on.
Well, not. Well, yeah. I'm sure it's not that. Yeah. The idea is it doesn't scratch.
A minor flaw that could be
that was only noticeable under a microscope.
Yeah,
a minute
dot that's all down along the edge where somebody, it's glued and not into the effective screen.
Somebody would notice it and there'd be all these blog entries about the Apple Watch is flawed because there's a dot on the crystal.
Right. It's not on your crystal.
Yeah.
Your Apple Watch is flawed. But yes, and I do understand that, but that's probably what's making it burdensome.
Yeah.
They
want it too good.
Well, no, they want it right, you know? Yeah. But on the other hand, the folks at Corning don't seem to have any trouble making the glass. Clearly, Apple was willing to accept giant sheets of glass from Corning to put on the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah.
So clearly, they're able to meet Apple's criteria, whereas GT Advanced Technologies was not.
Maybe, again, the process of manufacturing, the standards that Corning has, which they've been doing it for seems like a billion years.
Yep.
You know, versus this other company, which is a new endeavor.
Yep. And like I said earlier, you can see there's this bend test here.
Yep.
So it's good, really, that the iPhone 6s are using Google Glass because Google Glass will bend up to 70 degrees before it breaks.
Like that one. Because
this is a Corning website showing how much better Gorilla Glass is than Sapphire Glass.
Right.
We should find a Sapphire website to see the other way.
There apparently isn't one.
I was going to say, it probably took it down because it went bankrupt.
Yeah, I looked, and I did not find one. But there may be one out there now, but there certainly wasn't when I looked. But yeah, there's a whole.
Well, my sort of the first time they started talking about sapphire glasses aren't sapphires like purple?
Yeah, I don't think they actually mean sapphire. Yeah. Well, one of the things they're saying
it's an aluminum dioxide crystal.
Right, they just called it sapphire.
Yeah. Glass. Yeah.
But one of the things that they're saying is that the color that comes through it isn't quite true, and that it blocks more light than Gorilla Glass. So the displays are dimmer.
So you got trade-offs.
So you have to push more power through the display to make it brighter, which means the battery doesn't last that as long.
And the color of sapphire. So sapphire is aluminum oxide. The color comes from trace elements of impurities.
Right.
And the early, was it the iPhone 4, 5? One of them had a purple lens flare issue.
Yep.
If you point your camera directly at the sun, there's a purple lens flare on your picture.
Unbelievable!
Because of the purple sapphire in the lens.
Right, right, right.
Well, I want to take a picture of the sun, darn it.
I guess. I guess.
Now, your S5.
Yeah.
It's got the Gorilla, correct?
Yeah.
No bend problems there.
No bend problems. Although I keep it in a belt pouch because... I just do. I always have. But a lot of people put them in some sort of belt pouch or don't keep them in their pocket. The problem Well, except that you're not wearing those super tight skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Which barely have enough pocket room.
Not my age. Right. Not that would shut off circulation.
Not in the last 45 years. Not that you got circulation anyway, but that's a different story. The question is, it would keep your feet from swelling because you'd never get any blood down there. But the kids, you know, who wear the hipsters who wear super skinny, super tight jeans.
When did the baggy jeans with your underwear showing turn into skinny jeans?
That's still out there. It's a different group.
Yeah.
It's the gangsta versus the hipster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a whole different group of people.
Well, wouldn't the ones where you can see their hips be the hipsters?
You. For those of you keeping score at home, Steve Ray, 1 point.
But that brings up the other issue, though. Because you see a lot of women, though, that grab their phones and they put it up in their bra.
Yeah.
And now a lot of women that sweat a lot.
Yes.
Yep.
They can, all of a sudden, that little dot inside turns pink.
Yep.
And they have an issue. They take it in and they go, oh, no, sorry, this has been immersed in water.
Yeah.
No, it hasn't. Yes, it has. The dot's pink.
Yep.
So, you know, it might be a convenient place to hold it because, your jeans are so tight, you can't put it anyplace else.
What Dave is talking about is that there is a sensor inside the iPhone. And if the dot in there
all
turns...
phones.
In all phones. And there's a dot in there, if it turns pink, it has been exposed to water and it voids your warranty.
Apple actually did have a class action lawsuit against it a couple years ago that if your sensor turned because of exercise. That was where it was first starting to be shown. You're exercising, your hands are sweaty, and the sensor in the docking connector at the bottom of the phone where you're holding it in the palm of your hand.
Well, you just have to hold it different.
Yeah, you're holding it wrong.
Right. Steve Jobs said that many years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that's part of it. That's an issue.
Mm-hmm. And that's, void warranties. And now it's you against them trying to prove that, oh, yes, it didn't accidentally fall in the toilet or, whatever.
We had a customer. We always ask when a computer comes in, keys aren't working, something like that. Did you spill anything in it? And this customer swore she didn't.
They all say no.
Well, we opened it up and obviously there was a spill in it. She didn't spill anything in it.
Somebody else in the family member did.
So we have to rephrase our questions.
Yeah, has this laptop been?
Did anyone spill anything in this? In
has
this
any fluids been put on this keyboard?
Right. We had one today that was milk spill.
Ooh.
Rich
in protein.
We often get a lot of wine. Because our office is out in the Victor Mendez.
You get a lot of wine from the people who bring stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Bada bing.
W-I-N-E. Right.
Yep. We have beer now and then. But I think this is our first milk.
Wow.
The chocolate shake was really bad a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've had one of those.
Fell into her backpack.
Well, it wasn't chocolate. It was strawberry.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the smell of those. Holy moly.
That's right up there with, as far as disgusting to deal with is the smokers. Mm-hmm. I had one come in a little while back.
Worse than the smokers.
The whole back of the power supply was black from the smoke. I'm wondering, I am a heavy smoker. I go, and that's why the power supply burned out.
I've opened machines where tar was dripping off of components, dripping off it.
Oh, I've had it where the whole CPU fan is totally clogged with the dust and dirt and the tar.
Yep.
And the only thing you can do is take it outside and blow it out, and then I leave it outside in the garage until I got to work on it.
Shoot it. Put it out of its misery. Oh.
We had one college kid who brought it in and didn't say anything about a spill. We opened it up, and it was absolutely disgusting and smelled, and it was horrible. Finally admitted that a couple of months ago, they got sick after drinking too much and puked on it.
Oh!
And then put it in the closet. And let it fester. So we sent it to our cleaning company.
Yeah.
So they have the up to tier 4, like a grand to clean these things out. They sent it back. This is tier 5.
No.
Beyond economical repair.
Oh.
We didn't know there was a tier 5.
There is now.
And you better hope you never find a tier six.
Yeah.
They probably invented it just doing
that. Right.
So tell us that when you bring your computer in. We won't judge, but we need to know before we open it up. At least get the biohazard suit on.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it's right up there with the dead critters that I've found, yep. You know, and some of them.
The spider webs, dried, used up spider webs. The spiders lived in there for a while and then moved on.
Right. All right. We are going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on the Truly Great. And pay attention to this. Solely member supported. Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. News. Let me read you some news.
Or join in on the discussions.
If you're an AT&T cell phone customer, you can join in the discussion at any time, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. If you're an AT&T cell phone customer and you've had bogus charges on your bill, the company's $105 million settlement with regulators is good news. The Federal Trade Commission will get $80 million of that payout, the FCC's largest mobile cramming settlement against the single carrier to date, to pay customers refunds for unauthorized premium short message service, which is PSMS charges, according to the agency. This case underscores the importance fact that basic consumer protections, including the consumer should not be billed for charges they did not authorize, are fully applicable in the mobile environment, said Edith Ramirez, the FTC chairwoman. The agency says AT&T agreed to cough up another $25 million in penalties and fees. If you're an AT&T customer wondering whether you deserve a refund, here are the questions to ask. Were you ever charged for services you didn't off-order? AT&T, with almost 717 million wireless customers, improperly billed people for things like cell phone, wallpapers, daily horoscopes, or ringtones, listing them as AT&T monthly subscriptions, according to the FTC's complaint. This practice of deceitful billing is called mobile cramming. Although AT&T stopped applying the charges last year, bills from at least 2009 to 2013 could have included these fees, applying the charges last year, usually about $10 a month. The federal agency says the billing method led many customers to believe they were paying for AT&T services, not those provided by third parties that they didn't order. The FTC's complaint says the company wasn't completely uninvolved, however. It says AT&T pocketed 35% of those unauthorized charges, amounting to $108 million in 2012 and $161 million in last year alone. Did you receive services you didn't ask for? If you're a current or former AT&T customer and received a service such as daily text messages with love tips or fun facts, but you don't remember signing up for it, check your phone bill for mystery charges. Through PSMS, third parties didn't need your credit card number to scam you. They just needed your phone number. That means that anyone, no matter how careful, could be infected. Were you previously turned down for refunds? Most of the unauthorized third-party charges were small and recurring and went unnoticed by consumers. Those who did notice, however, weren't always able to secure a full refund. In 2011 alone, the company received 1.3 million calls from customers regarding the fees, the regulators said. At times, it says there were complaints about 40% of third-party charges. Those who weren't able to get all their money back will now be able to receive full refunds. If you have service from another mobile carrier, check your bills for these sneaky charges. AT&T isn't the only one. Are you an AT&T customer? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, the minute I saw that come out, because I was with that company,
right.
Let's see, from 2011 to 13.
That's exactly the time.
And I thought, because it was July. Yeah. My daughter and I and my grandson were on there. I thought, huh. So I filled out right away. And boy, it was really easy to get in on it and sent me a case number and everything else. So see what happens. Like Steve was saying, maybe I might get my whole dollar or 80 cents, but.
Right.
Hey, well, it's the principle of it.
With this, it's $80 million they're going to pay. No, $105 million they're going to pay back.
Right.
So if one person submits a claim, that one person gets $105 million. If 105 million people submit a claim, each one gets a buck.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, actually, probably not.
Because
don't the lawyers
the FTC,
take 30% of that?
The FTC gets $80 million of that.
Probably.
So there's $20 million left to pass out to the customers.
Right.
It might get 8 cents.
Yeah. So if you were an AT&T Mobility customer,
them more to write the check.
No.
Well, no, that was Steve Martin, the jerk. And 89 cents! He had to write a million checks.
No, what I'll get is a bill owed me for...
Yeah.
Right.
Because he sent a check for 18 cents and I owe him for postage.
Yeah, send it postage too. So I've posted a link on our website. If you were an AT&T Mobility customer on or after January 1st, 2009, you may be entitled to a refund, and there's a form you can fill out there. But yeah, as Nick said, the same thing happens to other customers. You get a sneaky text message, you know, something saying, you know, thank you for subscribing to, you know, Word Today, you know, hit reply to unsubscribe. And that actually does subscribe you because you replied to the message.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sneaky.
Very sneaky.
And there've been these kinds of scams for a long time. There used to be one very popular with telephones, and you'd get a message onto your answering machine. You know, Uncle Phil's in the hospital. You better call, you know, this phone number. And it sounded like a regular phone number, but it was like Guam or
right.
You know, Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And so it turns out it's an international call, and the bad guys have a deal with the foreign operators, you know, $50 a minute, and they split the take. But
yep.
You think it's a regular phone number because it sort of regular phone number. Yeah.
Right. It's a terrible scam, and it hasn't gone away, and it doesn't matter who your carrier is. You should check because it could be any one of them.
And it basically, in general, check all of your bills from all of your companies, all your bank statements. Make sure there's no fraudulent charges on anything. Don't wait till the end of the month when your statement comes. You know, oftentimes by then it can be too late and there's more hassle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, check online every now and then just to make sure.
You know, I was looking at the new LG that we were talking about a few weeks ago and still comparing it to the S5.
Right.
You know, because I'm up for a new one come July.
We're talking about phones now,
yeah,
folks.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Cell phones.
Yeah. The kind of topic we were on. But I'm just still leaning towards the S5.
I love my S5.
I know. You got one. Kathy's got one, too. And I like the screen, the clarity of it, and some of the features. Now, like on her calendaring program, you know, because we were comparing calendaring programs, and hers shows a lot of the detail right there on the screen.
Yeah.
Mine just show little bars.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's a quad HD display, right?
Yeah.
So it's got so many more pixels.
Right. Yeah. The clarity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
There's some features that I also really like. There's a proximity feature. So if I've got a list of things on the screen and I run my hand down them, not touching the screen, they'll all pop up with what they're talking about. For example, my list of text messages, the people who sent me text messages. I can run my finger down it and the last message will pop up. Without touching the screen, uh-huh. It's just near the screen.
Now,
I like that. I can swipe like this, and it will take a picture.
Yeah. Now, what about that flip chart? Have you seen that one?
What flip chart?
There's a feature in there called flip chart.
There's a program called flip chart.
Yeah.
Okay, yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I
don't
know what that's all about.
That particular program is a news program.
Like Flipboard for iOS?
Yeah.
Because I was trying to turn that stupid feature off.
If you're talking about Flipboard, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you can... that's the other nice thing I like. They just like everybody else, Verizon and Samsung both load a massive amount of crap
mm-hmm.
onto the phone. You can turn most of it off. You hide it.
Okay.
Which turns it off and you don't see it in your list.
And it's not running down the battery then.
And it's not running down the battery.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I've turned off dang near everything, and I now get about 3 days on a battery.
Because I did find this one app on mine.
Because you were so excited about that phone because it had the extra battery life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love the phone. You know, don't get me wrong. It's.
Has it been 2 years already?
It's coming up 2 years in July. But I got this one.
Time flies when you're doing radio.
Yeah, really. But I've got this one uninstaller program.
Yep.
And it not only allows me to uninstall the programs, you know, the apps that I put on, but also systems. So you can go in and, you know, which could be dangerous. The system apps that they throw on there, like you were saying, the other bloatware, you can actually go in there and turn some of this other stuff off, like, say, Amazon. Yep. And some of these other apps that I don't want on there, they threw them on there. It allows me to get rid of them.
Right. I have dozens of apps that are now, I believe the word is hidden.
Oh, okay.
So that they're, that's the wrong place. But there's a bunch of them.
The battery life, though, is still good on that. I mean, the S5, you turn that down because I got to thinking, my phone always goes on the charger at night anyways.
And a side effect of having the phones with bigger screens is there's more physical space to put a battery.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So the battery life is pretty good with that. I mean, she hasn't had any issues before when she had the other Razer, you know, was dying on her and everything else, and we were trying to close down all these apps, and she's gotten the S5 not once. Has it even gotten close to being dangerously low?
Oh, if you turn on everything.
Oh, yeah, which I've shut down
everything, you get about 10 hours of battery life. And that's, there's all kinds of stuff you can turn on. Most of it you don't need. Most of it you don't care about. For example, I don't even remember because I turned them all off. The screen, how bright the screen is.
Okay, yep.
Ambient light.
Okay.
Thing. You can turn that on or you can turn that off. There's a thing that's constantly listening for OK Google. I turn that off.
Okay.
But those are two minor ones. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, there's just a pound of it in there. And I turned it all off, and now my battery's 3 days easy.
Yep. So, turn off Bluetooth if you're not using a headset.
I turned off Bluetooth
as off Wi-Fi if you're using cellular.
Right.
Turn off cellular when you're using Wi-Fi.
Right. What does wear my battery down is hotspot.
Yeah.
I will admit
that. Because you're using all your radios. Sucking in cellular and broadcasting out Wi-Fi.
Exactly. So I will admit that that gives me a little bit of a battery drain. But I understand that. And I don't use it very often, obviously, only when I really need to. And even so, my wife used it for an hour and a half this morning. I used maybe 10% of my battery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's, like I say, it's got a lot of great features. So, I mean, that's the hottest one right now, so I'm wondering what will come out between now and July.
And it's an opportunity to buy a battery charger for your car and a battery charger for work and an extra battery charger at home. And
that's one thing. All right, I will give all the manufacturers, at least on the Android side, credit. Because most of the adapters for charging your phone are universal, just like PCs and plugging in your desktop. That cord in the back, it's all the same, unlike laptops.
Yep.
So you can go.
Oh, man, I hate that.
Some of the phones
laptops
have now started using the micro USB 3 connector.
Yeah, that's new. My phone actually does the near field charging, the wireless charging.
Oh, okay.
So I have a wireless charger for my car, I have a wireless charger at home. And between the two of them, I haven't plugged my battery and my phone physically into anything since I bought it.
Oh, okay. Did you hear about the people that got snookered into there was a fake news report about microwave oven, the new iPhone 6.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the new iPhone 6, you can charge it in the microwave oven. Just put it in the oven for about a minute and a half, and it will charge.
Reddit. Huh? No, 4chan. I think it was 4chan. Not Reddit. Might have been Reddit.
Yeah, and so many people did it and complained.
Friday?
Well, generally it will explode
because
you're putting energy into the battery. And it's just ridiculous. Think for a second. You put your food in there to make it hot.
What?
it's been going on forever. People put three cell phones together and pop popcorn in them.
Yeah.
The people who, what was the other one?
Well, Mythbusters did one with lasers. Your little pen light laser, you can pop a kernel of corn a kernel one at a time.
Oh, I saw one that shows you how to start fire with water.
Nice.
Drop some sodium in it.
No, what they basically did was take a you know, like one of your water bottles, filled it up with water, and they got near the sun.
Oh, sure, that will work. Yeah,
that's, that was that lens. Was the whole gimmick, was to show how using water you can start fire.
Yep. What was the other one with the iPhone, though? There was something else that ruined the iPhone.
Well, there's the bend gate.
No. Another one of these hoaxes that ruined the iPhone. I can't
water,
remember.
Waterproof?
Could have been waterproof.
Yeah.
Could have been that it was waterproof, yeah.
Just because you read something.
Yeah.
Just because you read something on the internet doesn't mean it's true.
What?
Really?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
They're lying to us?
Yep.
I know. It's a shocker to you, isn't it? I understand. No, I understand.
There goes my whole faith in society.
I get it. I am so sorry. I wish I...
My day's ruined.
...given you the opportunity to sit before you heard all that.
Yeah, really.
The LAPD issued a warning. Don't put your cell phone in the microwave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy had a saying, here's your sign.
Exactly. All righty.
Close?
I think we're pretty close anyway. Are we close enough for me to start talking?
Yep.
All right, that's it.
Good one, though.
It's a good one. We caught it. Listen, we're going to take a slightly longer break. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. Please join Steve Ray, Dave Enright, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 1 o'clock, and you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites and the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Vic from Irondequoit, New York on the line. Welcome, Vic. What's up?
Hi, guys. I open up my documents library on my Windows 7 PC, and I right-clicked on it, and it says share with, and the first choice is nobody, and it looks like it's got a lock. Now, what I'm looking for is I want to. I don't know what happens when nobody is clicked because I'm not sure if I can get it back. That's why I wanted to call you. But basically, what I want to do is, can I password or somehow protect my documents library so that wandering eyes can't get to them?
Yes, but in a different way. That share with is to let other people, other user accounts on your computer or other computers on your network access those files.
Okay, if I click nobody, then what happens? No one can access them?
Right. No, everybody can access it.
Oh, okay, we don't want that.
Right.
Yeah, if you want people on your computer to not see those documents,
right,
then put a password on your account and make another account for other people to use.
I have that already.
And if you go into that other account, can they see your documents?
No.
Then you're good.
Yeah.
And you may want to turn the password screensaver on. So if you get up and walk away, mm-hmm. it'll ask for a password when you come back. So someone else can't, you know, sneak in and get into your screen while it's still there.
Okay, but on my side, there's nothing I can't password protect. The,
yes. What types of documents are you looking to protect?
Well, you know, I've got.
No, I mean Word,
documents.
Excel. Are they Word? Are they Microsoft Office documents?
No. What I do a lot of times when I pay certain bills. I scan them and I put them into my documents. I have a bunch of different folders. You know,
PDF has a password protection in it. When you create a PDF file, you can put a password on that file.
Oh, so the files I don't want to be seen, I have to individually password protect those.
Right. Otherwise, they're password protected by your user password.
Okay, yeah, I get that part. Oh, all right. So what I would just like right click on it and it would come up.
Yeah. One thing you can do is you can use a program like TrueCrypt and create an encrypted folder that's encrypted with a separate password. And then anything you put into that folder is encrypted again and with a different password yet.
Is that T-R-U-E or T-R-U?
I am looking.
T-R-U-E, I believe.
Yes.
You can also...
Well, and there's this annoying thing with TrueCrypt. The company TrueCrypt has basically abandoned the software, saying it's not safe.
I see that.
Because sometime in the future, somebody may figure out the decryption it uses. Mm-hmm. So there's a potential threat at some time in the future when computing power gets bigger. Right now, TrueCrypt is fine. But we need to find something different than TrueCrypt now, don't we? GRC did a security foundation of it.
You can create a compressed folder, a zipped folder. And you can then add files to that as if it were a regular folder, and that zipped folder can have a password on it.
That would be nice. That sounds good. Are there directions on how to do that someplace?
All over the net. But basically, the way to create a compressed folder is right-click on the desktop, select New. One of your choices will be compressed folder. Once you've created it, then you can shove everything into it. You're not going to get a lot of encryption if you're using PDFs. You're not going to get a lot of compression if you're using PDFs.
Mm-hmm.
But so what? You don't care. Then you can open it up, and then under File, you can select Add a Password.
Okay.
And then you have every time you access the .zip file there, every time you add something or double-click to open it or anything else, you will have to put in that password.
Oh, all right.
There are also third-party programs that do... create password folders separate from the from TrueCrypt, which TrueCrypt is basically you password protect your whole disk, but it could also do a folder. There are a few of them online as well.
Okay, is there any chance of you posting any of them?
I'm looking for a summary of them all to see if there's one that a website that summarizes the different folder password, but I haven't found one of those. But yeah, I'll post something.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
It looks like you can do it inside of Windows itself by writing a shell script, which is not for the faint of heart.
Right.
But so there are ways to do it. There are programs you can download to create a password protected folder. But the easiest way is just make a password on your account, and then everyone else uses a different account to log in, so they can't see any of your stuff without having your password.
That's the best way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And same goes true for Windows and Macintosh and Linux as well. Multiple users are on by default, and we talk about that too. Windows 7, Windows 8. The first user you create is the administrator. You should not use the administrator as your day-to-day account. Make a standard account for yourself. And then make a separate account for the wife, separate account for the kids, because then they get their own email, they get their own documents. And then there is a shared folder where if you want to share files between the users, you can do that easily.
Right. All right, our next caller is Don from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Don. What's up?
You were talking about how to get rid of a lot of bloatware. I have a Samsung S4, and... I don't know how to get rid of the bloatware, but I'll tell you one nice thing about this S4. I have spare batteries for with a separate charger, so yeah. I don't have to have my phone tied up to a charger. I just recharge another battery.
Right. That's one of the other really nice things non-iPhone phones allow you to do is change your battery on the fly, so you keep... You get a second one or a third one or whatever it is you want, and you can do that. There is a way to do that. It's under Steve will publish a little webpage about it, but basically it's under Settings, More, Application Manager, go to the all pane, and you'll find the one you want to get rid of. And there's a disable button. It isn't, and that's what it's called. And I forgot that. I apologize. It's not remove. You can't remove it, but you can disable it, which also hides it.
Okay. So I go to settings.
Yeah, it's under settings, more, and then application manager.
Okay.
But Steve's going to post a link on our website to a page about it.
I really appreciate that. Because I missed it when you were talking about it. I got all this Kindle stuff that I never used and always wanting to update, and Amazon stuff that wants to update. And
yeah, it's pretty flippin' annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot.
Yep, absolutely. Good luck. People are annoyed. The theory is they're our phones.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
The companies that make that software paid the handset maker to put it on.
Right. And so that's one of the reasons the phones cost as little as they do. No, the reason phones cost as much as they do is because of corporate greed. But they can at least get more money for themselves by doing it this way. All right. Our next caller is Rich from Greece, New York. Hiya, Rich. What's up?
You mean Bill, I think.
Pardon?
Bill from Greece?
Bill from Greece. Sorry, Bill.
Well, that's okay. I get this mail delivery system failure on messages I did not send. Don't laugh, please.
No, that's very common. I get 40 or 50 of them a day. Some spammer picked your address to send messages from, and the other end, when the message can't be delivered, is doing what internet mail is supposed to do and tell you they weren't delivered. They don't know you didn't send them. Somebody sent them in your address. This is like putting someone else's return address on a postal envelope. You can put any address you want when you send an email.
Right.
And someone happened to pick yours.
Lucky me. How do you get rid of it?
You don't.
Well, one thing you might be able to do.
You can create a rule so you don't see them anymore.
Right. Create a rule or a filter that throws them away automatically. You'll never see them. They'll just be in your trash.
But then when you do have a bounce message that's true, it makes it harder to find.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, lucky me.
Yep. Yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, thank you.
I get 40 or 50 of them a day, mostly from Chinese websites. Someone apparently used my address to send Chinese spam, and so it comes back in Chinese.
I also get a lot of Chinese spam on one of my accounts. It's there's really nothing you can do about it. What I want to be able to do on pretty much everything, because, we're Americans. We don't learn foreign languages. We just shout louder until you get it. But I want to be able to go into Facebook and Google Plus and my mail and say, if this message is not in English, don't bother showing it to me, because I can't read it.
Yeah. That would be in the headers of the message, but very few programs will let you make a filter based on all of the header information.
Right. Some of them do. Thunderbird does, but you have to. But most companies don't put their language in their email messages.
Yeah.
They'll put the character set, like ASCII or UT8 or whatever, but they won't actually put the human language in there. And I guess that's just the way that is. But that would be helpful. Yeah, because we all get messages in languages we do not speak. I don't care how multilingual you are, you're going to be getting messages, or at least seeing, somewhere on the internet, one of the social networks you go to, messages in a language you don't understand, that you don't speak or read. And that being the case, why even bother showing them to me? It does no one any good. Except that it would take a tiny little bit more processing power, and heaven forbid they should have that burden.
And maybe I am communicating with someone in a foreign language, and I want that to come through.
And then you have the right to, you should be able to say which foreign languages you want to see and which you don't.
Yep.
But no, they don't do that, and I get it, but they should. And then there are the people. The real problem becomes, what if you are multilingual? if you have to say what the language is of each and every one of your posts, that becomes horribly onerous. If you expect the computer to figure it out for you, sometimes it's wrong. Generally, the longer the message, the better the chance it's going to get it right.
What if I type in Klingon?
What if you type in Klingon? Then your whole computer just say, I'm sorry, it's time to go outside now.
Yeah, really.
Shut down.
Take a break.
Is what should happen.
Step away from the keyboard.
Right. Have you ever seen the sun? Go out in it now.
White skin is not normal.
It burns.
Should have some pigment to it.
Flaming ball in sky.
Oh, speaking of the sky, what was this week? I think it was Tuesday or so when we had the.
Wednesday morning at dawn, we had a.
Cool. Yep. I was driving into work. And I went, wait a minute. I'm looking at it because I'm up so early.
The blood moon. Yeah.
And I'm seeing it. Wait a minute, there's no clouds? Wait a minute, I think there's an eclipse.
Yep.
I sat there for a good 10 minutes watching the eclipse slowly take place.
Was it the second of four? It's unusual. We're going to have four total lunar eclipses before a partial eclipse.
Yep. Very cool, actually.
And if you were really lucky, there have been pictures around the net, you could see Uranus and several of its moons.
Nice.
In conjunction with our moon.
We don't have enough people looking up anymore. We all look down at our phones. We don't look up. All right, listen, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have Mark from Rochester on the line. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Yes, how are you today?
Great. How are you?
Good. Just got a question about your website and the podcast.
Sure.
How come they're not being loaded onto the website?
They are. Aren't they?
Aren't they there?
No, they have been the last couple of weeks. There's nothing there.
Podcast radio. They're gone.
What happened?
They were there. iTunes is still downloading it for me because I always make sure I can download it after I post it.
Well, you're not kidding. They're all gone.
Just wanted to let you guys know.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
I don't know. You've been uploading them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're in the podcast directory. They just don't show on the website.
Okay, that's weird. I'll figure that out sometime later today or tomorrow. Or
slacker.
Monday or Tuesday.
So much for retirement.
And if I hit...
How's that working?
If I hit view page, the page is there that the podcast is on.
Yeah.
But
I didn't even get that.
The summary is missing.
Okay, that's a little weird.
It seems like we have a failure to communicate.
Communicate within the website itself, yeah.
I wonder if it has something to do with the WordPress 4 update. Is the podcasting a plugin or is that part of WordPress 4?
No, it's a plugin. So there may be something wrong with that. I'll have to figure out what the deal is with this and fix it. Okay, I hate WordPress. I really hate WordPress. I should stop using WordPress ever and write all my own sites.
Now that you're retired, you have nothing
else to do.
Yeah, now
you're retired, you got all this time.
Exactly.
Like I said, how's that working for you?
I'm only teaching 3 courses at RIT and 1 at MCC this semester.
Yeah, and with all your free time?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why it's not going to get done soon, but something will happen at some point.
Yeah, that's the whole trouble. Like I said, I told you guys a while ago, I tried retiring. It just doesn't work.
Apparently, it does not work.
No.
I get it.
I get that from my dad. I got to admit, God love him. He was always one that had to be, always busy doing something. I mean, even after he retired from the paper, he was helping my uncle park cars at different funeral homes. And he just had to go until his knees finally gave out on him. And then he was ticked at that. But that was only up till he was, I think that was 84 years old. So, you know. Oh, well.
Yeah. That's what I got from my father. Bad joints.
And that's part of the problem with retiring now. You know, 65 always sounds like it's so old, but you'll probably live another 20, 30 years.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of folks, when I sit there, you know, at the store, and I'm sitting there moving hot water tanks around or lifting a toilet up, you know, oh, you're in pretty good shape. I go, yeah, not bad for 66, huh? And they go, yeah. Huh? Yeah? No. Yeah.
Yeah. You do what you got to do.
Hey, keeps me in shape, keeps me out of trouble off the streets and out of the bars.
Yeah. Oh, that's a public service right there.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of jobs, remember when the majority of new tech jobs were going to India and China? Well, increasingly, those jobs are going away altogether. Outsourcing, it turns out, is in the early stages of being automated. On Tuesday, news broke that Yahoo would be laying off at least 400 workers in its Indian office. And back in February, IBM cut roughly 2,000 jobs there. Cisco's been considering cuts in India as well. Labor in India and China is still cheaper than it is in the United States, but it's not the obvious economic move that it was just a few years ago. Wages in India have increased about 10% annually over the last 5 years, according to Cliff Justice. Cliff Justice, an analyst who studies outsourcing. The traditional low-cost arbitrage markets have been in India, China, and other parts of Asia. Cliff Justice wrote in a paper he called The Death of Outsourcing. However, the success of outsourcing and global manufacturing has spawned a rapidly growing middle class in these regions, which is both increasing the cost of labor and broadening the potential customer base for many companies. A late 2012 report by IT analysts HFS Research suggested that robotic automation has the potential to wreak some dramatic, painful changes on the Indian outsourcers who are the current bulwark of the industry. That discussion of automation is becoming much more common in the tech industry, with tech jobs in Asia having at least the potential to be on the chopping block, according to Mark Murrow, an economist at Brookings. The labor costs are becoming significant enough in China and India that there are very real discussions about automating jobs there now. The next generation of robots, the next generation of computer learning is going to be much better than they were at handling things like customer service. So is this irony or payback? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415. And that long-distance line is how Scott from Buffalo got hold of us. Welcome, Scott. What's up?
I don't know where your friend, the last caller, looked, but I'm looking at the list of archives up to including last Saturday.
Yeah, the archive is there, but the podcast list is not there, which is a different section on the front page.
Yeah, I get the podcast from iTunes, so I ignore that.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And so, yeah, it's a whole different thing. I'm not entirely sure quite what happened, but like I said, we will figure it out.
So, yeah, right, on the front page, there is, above the section that says the podcast, there is a place that says the full archives. And that will show you each individual file as they've been uploaded as well. And then most podcast clients, like iTunes or any of the other ones. What are the other ones?
There's a number of other ones.
Will automatically download new episodes as they get published.
Yeah, but okay. Yes, and you're absolutely right, Scott. To talk to Mark, if instead of looking for Soundbites Radio podcast, if you go under Fascinating Stuff, which is a little farther up the same column, and look at the full archives, you will actually see a list of each and every show that we've got sitting online right now. And once again, let me specifically thank the folks at CLSS Enterprise for just letting us hog all of this disk space to do this in. But you can see them in the full archives list, but not in the podcast, the Soundbites Radio podcast list. It's weird, and I don't know what the story is. So you can still get them. They're under the full archives, under Fascinating Stuff, but they're not under the Soundbites Radio podcast, and I'll have to figure out why.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
And that reminds me to tell you that tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Linden Time. We'll be in Second Life. If you want to come and join us, send me a message. I am Neil Infinity, N-I-H-I-L Infinity, and I will give you a teleport to where we meet and chat about computer stuff and pretty much anything else that's in our heads.
This might be an issue. The URL for Soundbites /series/soundbites under podcasts, and the actual URL is soundbites.org/podcasts. So that series doesn't show up in the podcast directory.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but I will figure it out.
So if you want to see the podcast the old way they looked, it's soundbites.org/podcast. But we'll get it fixed.
Right. And soundbites.org/archives. Man, this is just... Okay, this is just weird. Hmm. There's three different ways to get at them.
Yep.
Soundbites.org/archives.
Is the raw MP3 file.
Is the raw MP3 file. That's an actual list I created.
Yeah.
Then soundbites.org/podcast.
Is the
list with pictures.
And that's the RSS feed.
That's the RSS feed. And then who knows what the other...
Well, that's what the podcast link on the front page used to send you to, is this page where you could see all of each podcast.
I don't know what happened. But I will figure it out, and I will make it right. But who knows what happened? I don't know. I don't have any clue.
No,
I've got to find someone that knows something about computers.
Yeah, wouldn't that be good? That would work for me.
Yeah, we'll have to give them a call.
Yeah, exactly.
My sister, God love her, for my birthday, she gave me a gift certificate for the Geek Squad. In case I don't want to repair my own computer, I can hire someone.
What a sweetheart. How nice of her.
Regift.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm hoping it can be used at any Best Buy department, not
next
just
year she's
Geek
Squad. Buying you a Chromebook.
Yeah. But I am hard
take
to...
Take it to the Geek... Yep. Yeah, take it there and buy a Chromebook.
I am hard to buy gifts for because everything I want is expensive.
Yeah, welcome to that club. I've come to the realization that I'm never buying another thing ever. Ever.
Hmm.
Ever.
Hmm.
Speaking of which...
I don't know if I can say that.
No, yeah, you pretty much can't. But...
No, because I'm getting married next year.
Yeah, exactly. You're spending an awful lot of money you don't have. But I have to say my books continue to sell slowly... Slowly, but they're continuing to sell, and that's encouraging. I have to write a next book, and I don't know when I'm going to find the time to do it, but I need to.
Some of the stories that we've heard on this radio.
That's exactly right.
A lot of people have said that over the years. We should write a book of all our stories.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too.
Well, no, we can have volume 1, 2, 3, 4.
We wouldn't name any by name, but you would recognize yourself.
Yeah. When... You know, do it in 5-year segments.
You need to put an
image
on
books.
Your author page.
I had an image on my... Is it gone now? Doggone it. Man, I hate everybody and everything. All right, I will fix that. I have to get my...
You are a curmudgeon.
I am a curmudgeon, and I admit it.
He has a warning sign on his T-shirt today.
It's curmudgeon. Don't say I didn't warn you. However, what's sad is I've been a curmudgeon all my life, and it's only now that people go, well, sure, you're old.
Oh, they attribute to that?
Yeah, it used to be they just thought, I don't...
You were just a cranky
SOB.
Just a cranky SOB.
Yeah, exactly. But now I get to be a curmudgeon because I'm old enough. Get off my lawn, unless you're mowing it.
And he doesn't have much of a lawn to mow.
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
Your yard, I can actually say your yard is smaller than mine in the front.
The front is, we're on a quarter of an acre.
Yeah.
But much of it is garage. Much of it is house.
Yeah.
Much of it is house.
Very big house.
Does that snapping turtle still live in the pond?
Yeah. No, the
he's
snapping
gone?
Turtle. This is what's sad to me. We had this huge rain that flooded everything, and the turtle, I believe, wandered out into the street where there was a crew across the street fixing something, and I believe
now he's soup.
Someone took. Yeah, I believe that's what happened.
Oh, darn it! I wish I had known that. There was maybe. I want to say month and a half ago, I was out driving and had to slow down Because here's this big, huge turtle, and he's headed on over into the creek. Could have grabbed him for you.
Well, that's all right. He's probably as happy in the creek as he would have been at our house. But we used to every year.
Is there any water left in your pond?
Yes. not enough, but some.
And then the 3 feet of sludge.
Every year we used to put 100 goldfish in the pond, and we used to be surprised that they would not live more than maybe 2 years. And then we realized there was this giant snapping turtle living in there who used to come up and he used to eat pigeons.
Yeah.
He would sit just under the water until pigeons came down to drink water or to wash or whatever it was they were doing. And he would just reach up and grab a leg and drag him into the water.
Yeah.
Quite amazing. Quite amazing. And he used to do the same. We could feed him hot dogs. if we were cooking outside, mm-hmm. we would see him with just his little eyes above the water, and I'd bring over a full hot dog, so if he reached up and grabbed it,
he was going to take your finger with it.
Right, but he'd reach up, and he'd grab it, and he'd eat it, then he'd sit there again, and I'd give him the next little piece, and he'd sit there, and then I'd put that last little piece on the edge so that my hands were out of the way, and he'd come up and get it. But he did that for years and years and years. Every time we cooked out, he could smell, and I used to watch him sometimes. You know, we'd be out there doing stuff, and he'd come and look, and if we were just doing yard work or whatever, he didn't care. But if we fired up the grill, he was right there.
Yep.
He was right there waiting for us. Pretty funny stuff. Pretty funny stuff, I got to admit. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe, Turtle Bytes, right here on the solely member supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. For those of you who are Google fans, Google may soon be expanding its Nexus family of mobile devices. Pre-orders for the rumored HTC-built Nexus 9 tablet may start Wednesday, with broader sales beginning November 3rd. The report, which cited anonymous sources, also said the Nexus 9 will sell for $399, which, as we all know, is not $400, and include NVIDIA's Tegra K1 chip. On Wednesday, HTC executive Jack Tong said that the Nexus 9 is expected to go on sale in Taiwan by the end of the year. HTC spokes individual Jeff Gordon, no, the other one, said Friday the rumors are incorrect, adding that Tong said HTC is committed to returning to the tablet market after a years-long absence, but never stated a product name or any other details, even though he said the Nexus 9 is expected to go on sale by the end of the year. Rumors have been swirling from my favorite thing is spin. My favorite thing is people trying to correct the executives who just state things when they want to. Rumors have been swirling for months that Google and HTC are collaborating on a new Nexus tablet. For Google, the Nexus 9 rumors come at the same time as reports that the internet search giant is working on a new large-screen smartphone as well. Apple has announced it will host an event next Thursday, with the tech giant expected to unveil new iPad tablets and Mac computers, which would seemingly rule out major competing product event on the same day, although you never know. For HTC, the Nexus 9 would be another bright spot for a company that has specifically slimmed down its product portfolio, with much of its hope riding on a few mass-market smartphones and its flagship HTC One M8 phone. The company has previously attempted to build a tablet, the Android-powered HTC Flyer, but failed to make a mark with consumers. If HTC does have a big announcement next week, it'll prove to be a busy month for the handset maker. The company earlier this week unveiled the Desire I smartphone and handheld camera, continue its focus on camera performance and features. So interested in a new Google tablet? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We'll see. It's an interesting time right now. Everybody's making bigger and faster and better. And does Nexus 9 mean it's a 9-inch tablet or what? I don't know. But it is supposed to happen on the same day that Apple is supposed to make their announcements.
I did read one of the stories just saying that Google might do it on the 15th.
Right.
To skip Apple's 16th. But then Google only gets one day of news before Apple blows them out of the news cycle.
Right.
So maybe they'll do it.
Well, except that I don't see... I've been looking... Of course, it's all rumors.
Yeah.
Which is why I didn't make it one of my news stories, because it's just rumor after rumor after rumor. What is Apple going to make?
Yeah.
But most of the rumors seem to be more evolution, slightly faster,
yeah,
slightly bigger, a little more RAM...
No wow factor.
No wow factor again.
Well, some of the rumors. So the Apple invitation, the text on it says it's been way too long. So is that a wink and a nudge because we just had an announcement last month on new iPhones?
Right.
Or does it mean that the iMac that hasn't been updated in a year will get it updated? Or the Mac Mini that hasn't been updated in 2 years will get updated?
Right.
There have been rumors about a 5K Retina iMac because 4K wouldn't be Retina. But a 5K display has got to be ridiculously expensive. And the iMac is the home computer. You know, home users aren't going to need 5K yet. They're barely doing HD.
Right.
And so maybe the Mac Pro does 4K already, and that's been a year since that was updated. But yeah, it's all these rumors after rumors, and we'll have to wait and see. Although I would say that if you are planning to buy an Apple product, wait a week.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
At least just to see what's announced.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically what happens is whatever does get announced, the current model goes on sale. We call those our yesterday sales at our store, because yesterday they were the new model. Yep.
But yeah, it's
odd that it's a Thursday, because Apple's announcements are usually Tuesday.
Right.
So people are trying to read into that too.
Well, people spend way too much time obsessing about every little thing Apple does. Apple should
true
start
fanatics
screwing around with everybody.
Yeah.
And just send out
maybe they are. Maybe that's why it's on Tuesday on Thursday this year. That's
yeah,
just
exactly.
Mess with them.
But it is, all the rumors I've seen have said slightly faster, slightly bigger display, slightly better, new version of this, new version of that.
There's a lot of expectations about a 4K monitor to go along with the Mac Pro, because Apple's current high-end monitor is only 2.5K for their high-end computer.
Right.
So they've been selling Sharp monitors in the Apple Store if you've wanted a 4K monitor. So that would make sense to go along with the Mac Pro. But it's this evolution. Intel comes out with faster chips, and of course they're going to be in the next model computer.
Right.
And so before something comes out, we're always wondering, how can they revolutionize it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a
and
bad
so,
word.
So on the iMac, the last revolution was that they made it thinner. It's now five...
No, that's just an evolution.
They made it 5 millimeters thick at the edge and took the optical drive out. So that's a de-evolution.
Right.
But it's 40 millimeters in the middle.
Well, and this obsession
with thin,
with making it thinner and I get thinner and I get lighter. Believe me, I get lighter. Because if you're going to carry around a laptop,
yep,
I would certainly rather carry around this than that.
Yeah.
I get that.
Where?
My Chromebook rather than his MacBook Pro. It's much lighter. And the screen is the same size.
Although 3 pounds versus 4.5 pounds doesn't sound like much.
It doesn't sound like much, but it is.
But it is, yeah.
When you've been carrying it around all day,
one arm
by
is
about
longer
5:30,
than the other.
It's a lot of difference in weight.
Yeah.
And the perception, that 4.5 pounds for that is about right for the size. 3 pounds for this is way light.
Yep.
Is this Wayland?
Weidman.
Wait.
I was trying to hear him.
Mark?
Yes.
Where are you from?
Wayland.
Wayland, okay. Got it. What can we do? It's Mark from Wayland, everybody. What can we do for you, Mark?
So you've been talking about if you wanted to get a Chromebook, to
try to use, if you're thinking about getting a Chromebook, try to use Chrome exclusively for a month and see if you like it.
Yep.
So I'm about 2 weeks in.
Yeah.
And I'm a Firefox user. I love Firefox, and it was kind of difficult to try to do it. And but either way, I don't know if the relationship is going to work out.
Okay.
With Chrome, and you can tell me why. I've been looking on a bunch of forums to find some of the settings of how I like to use my browser, how it changed in Chrome, and I noticed that the settings in Chrome, the options that you have for settings are so minimal.
Well, a lot of them are hidden. The nice thing about Chrome is you can do a search in the settings and see what you can find. What sort of stuff can't you do?
All right. So the file edit view at the top of the screen, I know it's something small, and it's just I would like it to be there. And I can't find how I would be able to change the view to get it there.
Oh, because that particular section isn't showing.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I know when you have the little three-line setting bar at the top right corner.
Yeah.
And you click on that, then you can get to some of the stuff that you would usually see in file edit view in, Firefox or IE or something.
Yep.
Yeah, in the menu bar, yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that the menu bar is not at the top means that the tabs are flush to the top of the screen.
Right.
And when I change programs, I usually click the top of, the screen to get to that program, and then that changes my tab, which is this something I do kind of innately? And it's, if I could just get the file edit tab, or even if I could just get the tabs to move down from the flush to the top of the screen, that would say a lot for my little nuances of how I use, how I serve Fire Browse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I see what you're saying.
So that little, that being at the top of the screen is, the tabs being at the top of the screen, I usually split screen my tabs, like, hit the Windows key and the left arrow to get one when my Chrome window to the left side, and then my Word window or Excel window to the right side. And then I'll tab, I don't alt tab as often, but I don't know, just it's with the tabs being at the top of the screen, that's,
yeah.
I guess just, I never really noticed it, but I click at the top of the screen all the time. And now that when I click on the top of the screen, it changes the tab, and that just throws my workflow off.
Right. Well, with a Chromebook, none of the other programs will be at the top of the screen either. So everything is a tab in Chrome.
Everything is a tab. So you wouldn't be able to have different windows open in Chrome on a Chromebook?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're all listed at the top of the screen.
Right. You're talking about pages. He's talking about absolute separate windows.
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
You can have both.
Correct.
And you can have both. No, I get that. That is not actually an option as such. Although the shortcuts still work.
Mm-hmm.
If I do Control F, it will find. If I could do Control O, it will open a file. That sort of fair. But I get what you're saying. Absolutely. And if that's not the way you work, then that is what it is. And I that's why I say play with it for a while, so you'll know one way or the other.
Sure. All right, well, thanks. I know you guys got to go, but thanks for all that you guys do. You're great.
Thanks so much. I love to hear that. Thank you. We're going to be done for another week. So you've got 166 hours to fill before we're back again. Luckily for you, George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. So we'll be back in 166 hours with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Dave Enright, Nick Francesco. We'll see you next week on Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. Have a great week.